Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, it is Tuesday morning again, which means we just had another episode of Monday Night Raw. But as ever, it in many ways was exactly the same as what we saw 7 days ago, because we are officially stuck in Groundhog Day and nobody is picking up the phone and nobody is ringing Bill Murray. At this point, I really think somebody should be doing this. And when we do have Billy Boy on the phone, he also used to be a Ghostbuster, so hopefully he can go out and find where the hell is Damien Priest? Because I suppose he has to be a ghost now, because I don't know about you, but I can't see it. But it doesn't matter, it's just professional wrestling. My name is Cy Miller. Welcome to What Culture Wrestling. And it's time to take this, the finger of power, and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down for the latest episode of Montag Night Raw. Only one of those words was German, and I don't even know why I did it. Let's up those doubts. Lily is gone. Yep, that's right. Raw started. Alexa Bliss said, well, I don't really appreciate what Lily did last week, and therefore I have put her in timeout. Now, this isn't a bad thing, but my word, does it feel like a waste of all of our lives? And she even went on to say, well, you know, WWE's going back on the road soon. She may as well have come out with a sign that said, well, we can't do the hocus pocus when we have real fans in the building, so instead we're taking this inanimate object and we're throwing it out the window. This thing got even worse because Nia Jax turned up in the playground. It was all like, Alexa Bliss, what happened to you? We used to be friends, which was not the case because I recall a time when Alexa Bliss was calling Nia Jax a big fat person. Anyway, look, the long and the short of it is this. Later on, it's going to be Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. And at the pay-per-view, it's going to be Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. Bliss also started to pretend to cry here, but it was all nonsense. And I think my big issue is that when you watch wrestling, you want to be able to suspend your disbelief, and I just can't do it with all of these gimmicks. It feels like I'm watching a performance, which is fine if that's what you're after, but I don't really want amateur dramatics when I do tune in, and that's why it's getting it down. Charlotte Flair, if you can believe it too, is still going on about this loss to Nikki Cross and how she wants it stricken from the record. And she's so pissed off about it, the next match was going to be Charlotte Flair versus Nikki Cross. Because if we don't keep doing that match, aliens are going to come down onto Earth and go pew 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 and zap us all, and then we'll be dead, and then none of us will be happy. In fact, we won't have any emotions, because again, we'll be in the ground. So I'm going to say thank you, WWE, for keeping away those terrified extraterrestrials. I don't even know. Also, she then had this fight, and she lost via countout. So let's just recap this story for those who may not be aware. Charlotte Flair takes on Nikki Cross in a Beat the Challenge match, and she gets so distracted, she technically loses. Then they have that tag team match, and because Charlotte and Rhea Ripley can't get on, Nikki Cross essentially steals the pin, and here she wins because of numbers. These aren't victories, it's just a way to keep this narrative going with a bunch of nonsense. Ripley obviously waited a few minutes into this before her entrance music hit and she came out because WWE can't help themselves. And yes, once again, Charlotte Flair was so distracted by this, she got herself counted out. But this also breaks the tale that we have been being told, because Charlotte was meant to be so riled up about getting this victory back, she still couldn't keep her eyes off of Rhea.
And I understand that's the point, but it is a really, really stupid point. Down.
Rhea then laid her out with the riptide because, of course, last week Charlotte had laid Rhea out with the natural selection. And imagine, once again, any story that went like this. The hero saved his friend, then the villain kidnapped back the friend. Then the hero saved his friend, and the villain kidnapped back the friend. And the hero saved the friend, and the villain kidnapped the friend. You would take this book and you would shove it up your ass just so you would never have to read it again. Maybe don't shove it up your ass. Maybe just eat it instead. But the point is that Raw has officially gone nuts. Jeff Hardy was then given advice to Riddle about tag teams, because of course he's from a legendary pairing, and was essentially saying, you should trust Randy Orton, he's got a load of experience, and he will steer you in the right direction. I want to go, wait a minute, Jeff. Didn't he try and rip your ear off a few years ago? I don't think anybody should be trusting the Viper. Anyway, Riddle then went off on one of his rants, and when the camera panned backwards, Jeff Hardy was gone because he was sick of listening to the guy. And Randy Orton turned up and he was like, Riddle, don't worry about being me or anybody else. Make sure you're yourself. Which is actually a very nice piece of advice. WWE then makes it so hard because it was Jeff Hardy versus John Morrison for some reason, but almost instantly, Cedric Alexander's music hit and he sauntered out to the ring. So if you're keeping notes, and if you are, it's a little bit weird, but I do appreciate it. Yes, that was exactly the same as the first match. Hardy also got sprayed with Morrison's dripstick early on, and I regret having to say that because my word does it sound like a euphemism. And again, just to get to the ending, John Morrison hit a version of Starship Pain, 1, 2, 3, and that was that. And then him and The Miz just left. It annoyed Cedric though, and he told Jeff Hardy that he'd been watching the footage from last week and he thinks Jeff is a sore loser, and if he had another chance, he would put him in the retirement home. And my word, this really triggered Hardy, because all of a sudden he went, oh man, you want to put me in the retirement home, dude? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll put my career on the line right now. And that was magically sanctioned. I mean, I don't know who did give it the green light, but of course that meant Cedric lost. Jeff ain't given up his career after a quip. It didn't go long, and in fact, both matches together barely went over 5 minutes, and Jeff Hardy, yes, got the victory after the Swanton Bomb. But the only thing I could think, and the only question I could ask throughout all this, is where the hell is Shelton Benjamin? He has just vanished into dust. What's even stranger about this is that, sure, last week it was kind of new and fresh, but now we're repeating it again, and we've already made it a repeat, which means Raw is now falling into the same pattern. Even with the new matches, it kind of pushes in there. And if that doesn't hurt your head, I don't know what would, is a down. But then add one of those occasions where it's basically impossible to know what to do. Let's go. Because Eva Marie finally made her big comeback to Monday Night Raw. And it'd been made very clear on social media she was going to be fighting Naomi. That was the pictures and everything else we saw thrown into our face. Instead, Eva came out with NXT UK's Piper Niven, and it was Piper that stood in for the match. Now, here are my thoughts. The first is that the commentators acted like they had no idea who Piper Niven was. And the issue with that is if I know and I have been smartened up just using my own brain, then the people who are meant to be bringing me information should absolutely know. Also, that's just whipping your pants off and crapping over your own product. How the hell can you not know about somebody in your own organization? That doesn't mean you're watching every single show. It should just be implanted in here. And two, Piper absolutely wrecked Naomi here. So I did have to just think to myself, why don't we ever give Naomi anything? And I'm sure she was happy to do the job, as they say. But my word, she never gets any kind of momentum. And I think it's bullshit. So my problem goes as thus. I actually think debuting Niven in this kind of situation is a really good idea because you paired her with someone who is always going to get traction and now they can kind of start circumventing your expectations. And also, if you know anything about the former Viper's career, she has busted her ass and she deserves her break, so up. But in terms of the whole execution, well, we've already gone over it. To have months worth of vignettes and then just to get this, was a little bit of a damp squib, and once more, we could have chosen anyone other than Naomi. So for that very reason, it's getting it down. Before we do move on though, I do just want to point out, that's just a wrestling angle. Some of you are going to like it, and some of you are going to hate it, and that's absolutely cool. But what is not cool are these jabronis and these absolute assholes on the internet who decided, oh, I don't like the way that Piper Niven looks, so I'm going to run her down. If you're the type of person that goes out of your way to body shame somebody else, you need to go get a clue and you need to go get a brain and put it in your head. You don't think that Piper Niven is in great shape? Do you think WWE would hire her if she didn't have like cardio for days? Of course she does. And even outside of that, we're all different shapes and sizes. You should go and learn some damn respect. there I am on my high horse. Now, let's proceed. If you can believe it too, we are actually going back to Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke taking on Tamina, what's that, there's nobody, Mina, and Natalya. Because Dana and Mandy were doing a photo shoot here, going like, oh, duh, here we go. When in the background, they could hear somebody wrestling, and they were super annoyed at the wrestling show. They could hear wrestling going on. I swear that somebody in WWE has just been Men in Black flashy thinging as well and completely forgot we have seen this before WrestleMania. But anyway, they went to confront these individuals, and it was Natalya and Tamina, and they were training because they're really good champions and they want to be the best. So you already know the deal. Natalya and Tamina think that Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose are too focused on their looks, and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke think that Tamina, what's that, yes, nobody, Mina, and Natalya are just relying on their last names. They then had a brawl, and all of this was presented like I'd never seen it in my life, even though I have seen it 98,763 times. Why the hell are we firing people from the women's division when what it desperately needs is tag teams? You tell.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Me. Drew McIntyre promo next, and it was pretty good, although he did call Bobby Lashley Bobby Trashley, and I maybe would not have done that. But he once again went on about his Scottish heritage, and look, anytime Drew is on the screen, he comes across like a big deal, and he comes across like a star. We just need to get through Hell in a Cell and move him out of the title picture, because no matter who is in it for too long, the clue is in that sentence, is too long. For the umpteenth time, RK-Bro and New Day then saved Monday Night Raw. So damn good. They were given a bunch of time, they had the narrative to back it up, and it was just good tag team wrestling. Also had this nice bit in the early going where Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods faked out Randy Orton and Riddle with dives. It was just fun. Sometimes I really miss fun. Orton still whooped Xavier Woods for a while before he got the tag to Kofi Kingston, but this is when you saw the transformation of Riddle continuing, because he distracted Kofi, which allowed Randy Orton to get out of the way of a trouble in paradise. Riddle was soon in and he hit the floating bro, and this was also excellent because Xavier Woods went to break up the pin, but Randy Orton just ran in there and tackled him, although Kofi still kicked out, but then he returned this favour because Randy Orton was going to give Xavier the draping DDT, and Kofi said, nah bro, not on my watch, and he took him out. Orton then tagged himself back in and he went for the RKO on Xavier, who kind of reversed it into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, but you can't do that on the Viper, he's been going too long, so he hit a proper RKO, 1, 2, 3, and it just gets a round of applause. The tag team division on Raw may actually be the best thing about it. Riddle was over the moon afterwards, which is a huge reason that these guys are so endearing. And if you just want to kind of block out 180 minutes and just feature RK-Bro and the New Day, at this stage, I think I'd be all right with it. Rhea Ripley was in the back ripping on Charlotte Flair, and honestly, it was just the same thing that she has been saying for the last few weeks. Oh, Charlotte, you're a piece of trash. I don't like you very much. I'm going to beat you at Hell in a Cell. I'm sure you will. I also assume this was done because she was facing Asuka next, and I watched this whole match terrified and just waiting for dun 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 and Charlotte Flair's music to hit, because that is what WWE has done to me. I'm preconditioned to go, well, somebody's obviously going to interfere. And quite incredibly, it never happened. Also, it was really decent. The fact that we have booked Asuka out of the title scene, even though she has a legitimate claim to try and go after the championship, is crazy. But we always do that with the Empress of Tomorrow. And yet every time she's in the ring,
She always finds a way to smash it.
My favourite bit is when Oscar too went for the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up. But Rhea Ripley grabbed her and reversed it into that badass Cloverleaf shing she did. And outside of this, it was just back and forth, I'll hit you, you hit me. These two have really good chemistry, and when it clicks, shouldn't have clicked, I really have a good time. Sadly though, Oscar eventually did slip out of that submission move, but walked right into the riptide, and you just knew that was the finish, and it was indeed the finish. But fine, I can handle that. Sometimes people win, and sometimes people lose. And then straight away, Charlotte Flair was out there, and her and Rhea had a big brawl. Somehow Charlotte's nose got busted open, and Adam Pearce, I think he took one in the face as well. But that's just how much these two hate each other. And I do think they're gonna have a good match at Hell in a Cell. I just think the build-up has been all over the place. MVP and Bobby Lashley were then backstage with their women, and they were really mad at Kevin Patrick, who had just barged in there and said, "Bobby Lashley, do you know anything about why Drew McIntyre is facing AJ Styles later?" MVP did not know about this, but he did want to make his point. I did like the fact that we teased that maybe Umphup and Lashley had something to do with the fact we're getting this random AJ Styles-Drew McIntyre match, which did come out of nowhere. But the best part was Bob ended this by getting the mic and saying, "Oh, I'm glad that McIntyre is talking about his Scottish heritage, because I'm going to publicly execute him and put his head on a stick." And if you had missed the context to this, you would have looked at Lashley and gone, "Oh my gosh, you are an absolute psychopath." Alexa Bliss then defeated Nia Jax via DQ. I mean, somebody rip out my teeth. Down. It was only about 3 minutes long, and Bliss actually had this one after the Twisted Bliss before Reginald just got in there and dragged her off Nia. And I will tell you this, when you actually take a character like Alexa Bliss and let her do the wrestling, I was all right with it, and I was like, wicked, awesome, she's gonna beat Nia Jax, then I'll be even more scared of her. But we can't do it. Why can't we do it? She's meant to be undead zombie. I think she'd be able to get one over Nia. Bliss also hypnotized Reggie afterwards, and that's when we go down the avenue that I do not like, before Nia walked up to him and was like, "Reggie, Reggie, snap out of it." We snapped out of it. Could have just kept this so much more simpler, but no, we're not allowed nice things. Bring down the disqualification board that now rolls up. 235. We then had such a good bit between MVP and the New Day, I'm convinced it was written by somebody else. I mean, talk about taking my intrigue gland and turning it on. Because MVP was continuing on this whole thing that Kofi Kingston's major problem is that he spends too much time with his friends and too much time with his family, and he doesn't focus on his craft. At one point, MVP was even like, "Oh, who's this guy?" And that guy was Xavier Woods. This fired up Kofi, who once again reminded MVP, "That's not how it works. I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for those close to me. So if you don't shut your hole, I will shut it for you." Thank goodness he did say that. He is coming across like a strong babyface. It ended with MVP wishing Kofi Kingston luck at the pay-per-view, but that's right, he doesn't have a match, and what a zinger that is. And if I didn't truly believe the New Day were never going to break up properly, I would stand here and say to you, "I think the New Day are going to break up," but they're not. And what we are going to do, I imagine, is Kofi Kingston versus Bobby Lashley at Money in the Bank. But that works for me, and I really appreciate the fact we've built a story around it. Why can't we just take this kind of concept and paste it over the whole show? My answer is, I have absolutely no flubbing idea. What was not as good was Elias versus Jackson Ryker. Down. I mean, I could honestly run the clip from last week's ups and downs, and it would be appropriate, and it would be accurate. In fact, I'm gonna do it. At this time as well, I was thinking, well, I guess we're going to save this match for the pay-per-view. But no, we just did it, and it ended with a count-out. Down. Because Elias just left after a few minutes. Yes, that's right. Halfway through, Elias just thought, well, I don't really want to fight this guy, and I suppose I am in control of my own actions, so I'm already out the ring, I won't get back in the ring, and I will get myself counted out. I mean, what am I meant to take away from this? And why aren't the general managers coming out and going, "Oh, well, you keep doing this, so we're going to impose a no count out rule like they do across the other of their shows"? Why am I meant to like Jackson Ryker too? What have they given me other than the fact that deep down I know that he was a very good servant at Starfleet? I mean, he even cut a promo before this where he just went, "Elias, he was holding me back." And I was like, that guy is loony. That guy is absolutely crazy. I can't get behind him. All of this is, well, I don't even know. I don't even have a word for it. Insane. I then was an idiot, because of course I am. We got to AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre, and even though deep down in my toes I knew I wasn't going to get a finish, I enjoy these two in the ring so much I thought, man, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to bet on the positivity. And then it ended in a disqualification. Bobby Lashley and MVP were on the stage almost instantly, so that's the third time we've done it on Raw, and we got to the fourth because the Viking Raiders did it halfway through the match, and I am going to need a skit eventually where we talk to the production guy that has to push play on their music, and you just have a wrestler going, oh, when I go out there, you better start my theme, otherwise I'm going to kick your ass. And I understand it too, they are feuding with Omos and AJ Styles, but as soon as it did happen, I could just see what was about to go down. There was also a good bit when AJ Styles was making his entrance because Omos got distracted by all of Bobby Lashley's women. I don't know why it tickled me, but it just did. And they had such a good match. These two are so good in the ring. At one point, we have to give them 25 minutes and let them go at it. So for that, it's getting an up. But of course, as soon as Drew McIntyre hit a clothesline, Bobby Lashley jumped in there. He beat him up. Disqualification. Boring down. So every damn time, every single damn time, bring back the flipping DQ board, which I'm starting to hate, goes up to 36. Because the Viking Raiders have got in there to bring balance to the Force 2, WWE went back to their favourite trope, and all of a sudden somebody went, I love Bali! And we got a six-man tag match. And we really do have to stop doing this, but listen to who was in it. Bobby Lashley, the Viking Raiders, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, Omos, a bunch of other people. They're so talented, and you can't help but enjoy it. So I'm giving it an up. Does it deserve one? I mean, yes, it does, because again, it was a good match. But we just need to do some brand new things. It also had somewhat of a controversial ending, because Drew McIntyre gave the Claymore kick to Bobby Lashley, and he pinned him for the three count. Now, of course, this means he's losing at Hell in a Cell. So I suppose this is fine. You've got to give him a little bit of a something something. But on the other hand, maybe Bobby Lashley shouldn't be a pin. We did have a little bit of an out for this as well, because the commentator sold it to us like, oh man, AJ Styles accidentally tagged in Bobby Lashley. But I was like, that doesn't work. Bobby Lashley is in a tag team match and he's the world champion. He should be expecting a tag. But hey, look, like I say, it was really enjoyable. And the only other slight issue I did have is that when Omos is in the ring, they cut to a commercial break. So it's like the episode of The Simpsons when Homer Simpson wanted to see that the cool martial arts guy on the outside, and then Marge won't let him. And in the distance, you hit all these like badass moves. And he's like, oh man, I missed it. That's kind of what it felt like Omos here. He got in the ring. I was like, oh baby, here we go. We cut to a break. When we came back, he was out the ring. Omos has something about him. Just come up with a plan. Let him run wild and let him run wild when I'm watching. That did bring us to the end of not only another Raw, but the go-home edition for Hell in a Cell. And as ever, I just don't think it worked. It's just like there's no plan, and maybe as if somebody gets there and rips up the script hours before we're meant to go live. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to give it a down, but I'm keeping everything crossed that come Monday, I don't know why I'm even thinking this, of course not, but come Monday after Hell in a Cell, something happens and we can move down a different path. We shall have to see. Who even knows?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about...
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.